Hi guys and welcome back to the ABK podcast. This is episode 2. The first episode went down really well. It's been up for 4 days and we have almost 400 views and we spoke about mental health, anxiety and depression. Today we're going to talk about something career-based and the mindset and the mentality needed to get to the top of your profession, and we're talking to somebody who has worked with an elite football clubs in terms of a performance analysis, and hopefully his tips and his advice can help you achieve what you want to in your future career. Right then, welcome back to the ABK podcast. Today is going to be a little bit different. So we're talking sporting careers with Mukesh Talwar. He's the Academy Performance Analyst at Birmingham City. I'm going to give him a moment to introduce himself and then we'll go through a few questions and see what we can take away from this in terms of mindset within school. So the academic mindset to always push yourself to be better, but also talking about careers in sport and how you can get to a level that he's working at now. So welcome, Mukesh. Could you tell me a little bit about the job that you do at the moment, your role and what that entails on a daily basis?
Yes, so I'm currently the Academy Performance Analyst at Birmingham City Football Club. My role entails in a lot in terms of being able to deliver pre, live and post-match analysis. So that comes into a lot of variation around highlighting any technical and tactical elements of match performances for, most importantly, the individuals themselves, because working within academies around individual development, hopefully helping them on their journey to sort of first team football and their own careers, and be able to sort of assist coaches with any sort of tactical needs around sort of highlighting any analysis around games, tactical elements, and more so just being doing additional ad hoc duties. So, you know, really helping and ensuring that we're sort of an assistance to the coaching process. So that's just a little bit quick sort of description in terms of what I do. There's a lot more we do, but just to make it into simple terms, that's sort of the sort of what the performance analyst does.
Brilliant. That's really interesting. Hopefully this is something that, although our GCSE PE and Cambridge students can watch, but hopefully those doing A-level PE as well can see this or a little bit further down the line and see where they could potentially take A-level PE in the future. If we strip right back then down to secondary school, could you tell me the sort of the options you chose and the reasons behind that and how they've sort of shaped or put the foundations in place as you've sort of moved through your career?
Yeah, so when I was in secondary school, obviously being in year 9, of course, that's when you have to pick your select your options for what you want to do for the next 2 years as part of your GCSE. First one was PE, physical education, just because, you know, ever since I was a young boy at school, at secondary school, you know, PE was always something that I really enjoyed and I really wanted to take upon it as an option. You know, ICT was another option, graphics, obviously, of course, doing maths, English and science was a part of that alongside geography. Also a PE, just being that sort of role in what I did at GCC was around sort of the coaching side, being able to deliver sessions. So that was a really good fun factor, just to get a bit of an idea of sort of the PE teachers when they teach us as students, what's the reverse? So how, you know, it gets us thinking as students, right, actually, how do I interpret that information to my peers? So what's the focus within the session and what do we want to get out of the session? So that provided some really good understanding and learning, because you're seeing it from the other point of view of what the teacher goes through and the planning that and the preparation that goes within that. Graphics was one that I chose around within DT, because there were so many different disciplines you could have gone within. That was in woodwork and food, just to name a couple. But graphics was one that I really sort of entail to, because I really like the creative side of it. It was about being, you know, really being knowledgeable and again, I keep mentioning it, creative in your ideas. So what can you do to be creative and make it punchy and make it eye-catching for someone else that was going to go and view that and watch and see what you were creating? So I really like the aesthetic side of it, and it was something that really engaged me. And IT was just something that, again, you know, and it's funny enough now, because we're looking at it from this present moment, because I'm doing analysis and a lot is entailing with sort of the IT literature side of it. But it, what I liked about it more so was because, you know, it was about being able to go and venture around ICT, around sort of all these softwares and apps that you can use, and how can you use it to your benefit, and sort of just challenge, just sort of searching the web, as sort of fundamental as it sounds. But as a young student, it's something that's really interesting, because, you know, you want to go and search what's out there and how can you use it to sort of benefit your sort of, you know, your own personal model. And those were sort of the options, just to go into a little bit more in depth. One was some of the reasons why I selected them.
That's really interesting. And you talk about the ability to use your IT skills and in terms of graphics, making things creative and attractive on the eye. And that's something we try and push a little bit more with sort of year 10 and 11 students when they come to do their revision for their exams. Mm-hmm. In terms of being able to use a computer and find resources and find revision packs and that sort of stuff online. But girls tend to be much better at this than boys in terms of providing or creating their own resource documents or revision documents. So they come to do the revision. It's really nicely set up. It's this color for this color for that, really written very neatly. And then boys come to do it. You look through their revision packs and you think, how on earth have you read this? How on earth are you going to revise off 6 pages of scribbles? But I think it's really important. And our students in school could use their IT skills with their sort of graphic skills and be able to produce their own revision documents. That would make a massive impact when they get into year 10 and year 11, and they're able to use those skills to enhance their academic performance. I remember when I was in school, when I was in secondary school, and one of my subjects, we did like a whole revision lesson, which really sort of struck a chord with me in terms of using things like Publisher, using PowerPoint to create these really simple things. But it's similar to, and it sounds a little bit silly, a little bit novel. It's similar to how McDonald's do their advertising, and they make the burgers look incredible on TV. And that makes you think, oh, I want to go and do it. I want to go and eat that. And that attracts me to it. If they put what they put in the packages on TV, I think, no, I'm not interested. And in the same way, it's the same with revision, because I had some documents which were scribbles. And I thought, I'm not touching that. There's too much there. And I'm not looking at that. And there was one document which was 30 words on a piece of paper, keywords that bring things out for me. And I suppose that's the same way when you work with these young athletes, in terms of you're providing these resources or this analysis. If it was just words on a piece of paper, if it was just you speaking, potentially that would cause them to switch off. But having that visual thing in front of them to sort of engage in and sort of try and decipher themselves with problem solving skills, maybe makes your life a little bit easier as a performance analyst. So I went off a little bit off topic then a little bit, but I think that's important, not just in PE, but in all subjects, to be able to have those skills to enhance their revision ability and their academic ability going forward.
No, definitely. I think it's really good to sort of more so being able to have that variation of skills. You know, like one thing that you sort of highlighted there around sort of PowerPoint, Publisher, just to name a few, and these Microsoft Office tools. And you know, I look at it from a point of view of now, and sort of highlighted in my previous, in terms of from doing my GCSEP, of actually having to plan and prepare sessions. Now I flip it with from an analysis point of view of, you now work with young athletes. Now you're creating a presentation that needs to be effectively engaging. Now, if I'm, like you spoke about, if you're just putting words on paper, that automatically will just disengage your target audience. So most importantly, it's how can you engage your target audience? It could be in any field, you know, it could be in any field. So it's how can you grasp that? And it's the challenge is being creative and finding ways to engage the target audience. So in my occasion, the younger players. So, you know, some of the tools that we use for our analysis is like annotation tools, and with our PowerPoint presentation slides, it's making it stand out. So the players are, when they come and sit down, they're like, wow, look at that. Or there'd be something, you could put something quirky on the slide that makes them notice. And sometimes, which is great. And it's not like I do it on purpose. It's an actual mistake. Oh, Makesh, you've got the date wrong. But it's straight away, because it stands out, they're engaged to it. Brilliant. So straight away, I know that they're clocked onto the screen. Brilliant. And when you're using, when you're going through clips and you're going around the tactical side, there's annotation tools that we use, which are like beaming light. So if people who are listening watch Monday Night Football with Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville, when they go through their analysis, they use the drawing tools. It's exactly what we sort of similar to what we use, but it's great because straight away it's engaging the target audience that they're seeing these visuals. So you're essentially telling them the story, yes, but straight away you know they're engaged. They're engaged to the PowerPoint. And I think that's the really biggest thing around it, is how can you find ways to be creative with your target audience? I think it's really important. I think those tools and those experiences to have, for me, are really important.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's massive in terms of, and I think a lot of our students potentially don't think they have those creative skills because they've not tried to use them yet, and they haven't explored it with IT. They haven't explored those skills in terms of sitting down at a computer and just thinking, what can I make? And I know when I started teaching, did training 2 years ago, and I created my first PowerPoint, and it was just big title, loads of words, yeah. Big title, loads of words. And I was teaching it, and I was thinking, nobody's really buying into this at all, because all the information's there. They're reading it and they're not really listening to me. But until you start maybe putting one slide with three words on, and then you talk them through it, and maybe you go through images or videos, and keeping it creative, keeping that little bit of those constant changes with what you're doing, engages people. If it's always one way of doing things, the success and the quality of it isn't going to potentially get to your potential. I think that's a really good in terms of a revision side of things. If our students could use things like that, use their IT skills to create these resources and start creating them from year 9, 10, and 11, when they get to that exam, it's going to be a massive benefit. And although we're talking about sporting careers today, that applies for, like you say, any field. It can be important for absolutely anything, any subject. In terms of leaving secondary school, then you went to do your, presume, into college. You talk us through what you took at college and how that's shaped.
Yeah, so it was, I hope I've got the name of it right, it's an extended diploma, level 3 in sport. So it was more of a BTEC when I went into college. It was Stourbridge College that I went to. I studied that for 2 years. And again, it was the same similar processes. So we had different variation of models around the physiology side of it, the coaching side. So, part of the experiences were going to schools and delivering sessions. And then you're on the flip side of learning about, you know, the human body. And there were so many different variations around sport. So again, for me, college was again hitting different disciplines. So you're looking at the coaching and the teaching side, you're looking at the sports science side, and you're looking at the medical side, if you're looking at it from that point of view. So there was different disciplines we were working with within college. And again, that just sort of, you know, again, it was just that layer of knowledge and understanding of physical education, and really getting a bit more of an in-depth analysis of how that applies within day-to-day work within schools potentially, or within sports, within a sporting field. So for me, that's where it was just a bit more of insightful, because it was just me just gaining that extra little bit of knowledge from what I learned at school, but now you're applying it now into secondary schools. But now there's a little bit more of a purpose, because you're doing it for a period of time. So, you know, you're really going to be challenged and checking challenge from your tutors, because now they're going to start critiquing you, which is good, which is very good, because that's part of your development. It's ways that you want to learn and get better. And again, this was something that kept me in good stead. Obviously, I managed to do really well in my courses, which I ended up getting a distinction from. And then, of course, that's where it then laid me on to go into university, because ultimately that was, again, the next sort of challenge for me to go and progress. But college for me was more so when I was there, I really wanted to, the big thing that I went into was with an open mind, that I didn't really want to fixate myself on one area. I really just wanted to get a bit of an appreciation of different disciplines within sport and kind of feel which one I felt comfortable in working with. And not because, not saying in terms of what was easy, because nothing was easy, but in a context of what was I really getting more knowledge from? Where was my attraction and knowledge really coming into the fold? And where was I really getting that understanding from? And coaching and the teaching was the side that I really sort of had a sort of power to and a real, you know, heartfelt towards, because I really sort of got a lot from that. And being able to deliver sessions and deliver plans was something I really enjoyed, because I'm quite a practical individual. I'm really hands-on. So I really like to be involved. And that was one of the main reasons why I sort of fixated to more of that side of it, which ultimately sort of gave me that idea of wanting to go and do, when going into university, do my undergrad as within physical education, sports coaching and science.
That's really interesting. I want to sort of go right back to the start of that. And you talk about planning and delivering lessons. And that's something that our students are doing at the moment in Cambridge National Sports Studies. They're planning a lesson and they're delivering it. And they'll be doing it sort of through year 9 and year 10. And there's a couple of courseworks which are based around both lesson planning and putting drills in place with progressions and how to write them up clearly. And I think some of them do find difficulty in it, because it's a scary thing to teach in front of your peers.
Yeah.
It's really scary. I stand in front of a class of 30 students and I've got no issue doing that. But the thought of standing up in front of just 6 peers, 6 other teachers, and talking through something scares the life out of me. So I know exactly where they're feeling coming from in that respect. But you then talk about getting critiquing off your tutors. And I think our students, as we take our key stage 4 from year 9, 10, and 11, but as they move from 9, 10, and 11, they get used to that critique. And it's not, this is wrong, end of. It's more, this is wrong, or this is incorrect. This is how you improve it. And every failure, I think, should be seen as, this is a way for me to get better. Because if you averagely get along all the way through and you don't push yourself and you just tick the boxes just about, you're never going to get anywhere. But unless you ask for that feedback, or unless you take it on board, you never get anywhere. And an issue some students tend to have is they put a defense mechanism up straight away. They say, I've done this wrong and I don't like that teacher now, because they pick on me and I'm the only person that they've said's got it wrong. But there's a reason for that, because they, as teachers, we know what they can achieve. And it's about taking that on board and going, right, well, next time I'm going to do this, that, or that, and next time it's going to improve. And I think as they get older and more mature, that comes naturally. But I think if students could take it on board in year 9, by the time they get to year 11, they can use that critiquing and they can use those constructive criticism better. Because I think by the time they get to year 11, they are capable of doing it, but they haven't developed those skills from year 9 and year 10. And that's something we try and push in PE, because naturally PE is a subject where you do get things wrong, because it is difficult. Yeah. And even in performance, sporty kids are used to failure, in the fact that you go for a 3-point shot in basketball, you're going to miss. You go for a 25-yard free kick, you're probably going to miss. And I think sporty kids get used to that. But in other subjects as well, I think, from experience and talking to teachers, that top level maths groups, they hate failure because they're very academic and they hold themselves to a high standard, which is brilliant. But if they could hold themselves to a high standard and take on board that constructive criticism, they could really fly. So we go on to university. Was it sports coaching, sport PE and coaching science? It's specs.
It was physical education and sports coaching science. So it's a long sort of module course. I did that for 3 years. I did that for 3 years. And there was a lot of modules again within that. So I can't recall some of the modules in the top of my head now. So we're talking, but a lot was around, again, sort of going back to the physical education, from the college side of it, where you're going out and doing the practical side within schools, that was part of an element. The big ones for me that I took around was performance analysis, which come into the second and third years. We did the physiology side of it again, the psychology side as well. Also, we did the sports science in terms of the medical side of the course. So again, linking back to the college, it was the elements of that. However, there's now more of a difficulty in terms of knowledge you're getting, because now it's around being in depth, a lot of research. So one big thing about going to university is research. You know, when you're then applying that to your own work and your own coursework, which is part of your part of your grades, that's one thing that I really found challenging, was being able to use that knowledge and research all this information and apply it to my own context and my own work. So that gave me a different element, because again, as I mentioned, when I was at college, even though I selected that course, that course ultimately was, it gave you different modules within different disciplines within physical education. So again, I still had an open mind about what I wanted to do. Again, one big thing that I always had was I never was focused on this is what I want to do. And I always made sure that I'd always go with an open mind on what I wanted to do, because you never know what you're going to learn. And ultimately, take all these different elements of what you're learning in different modules and apply it to yourself. So even though, for example, medical may not be for me, but actually that could be a very useful tool for me to what I want to use to my own work. So that was a big thing. And then when I got into sort of second year, started selecting second year modules, performance analysis was one. And it really stood out to me out of all the modules I selected, because it's like, performance analysis, that's really good. That's really cool. It seems very technology based. You know, you're having to analyze games, and you're really watching games in depth. And I was like, I really like that. I'm going to give it a go. And I did it, and it was great. But I would be wrong in saying when I was in performance analysis, I really enjoyed it, because there was parts of it I wasn't too sure on. I was like, it doesn't sound like what I wanted to hear when I first selected. It's not giving me what I thought it would be. And that was at the time was a bit of an upset moment, because I thought I would get a little bit more from it, but I didn't feel like I was. So again, I was still open-minded, because physical education was still something I still also had as an addition, because I thought, well, actually, you know, I want it, you know, going into a different sporting environment was something I wanted to get into, but the options weren't there. I didn't really see it. So then when I did go into my final year at university, you know, I applied for my PGCE, And also when we're going through our final year modules in our final year at Worcester, performance analysis came up, and I seen it, and I was humming and hawing about it, because I thought, would it be for me? I really questioned myself, because I thought I didn't really have a great experience at my second year. But I felt deep inside that there was something more I was going to get from it. I thought I was still missing that element. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And I feel I'm going to get more from that area, that module. So coming into the final year, as I mentioned, I applied for my PGCE, because that was the only sort of pathway or door that was open for me, that I could see myself going to venture. But then when I got into my first day at my final year, got into the analysis, our lecturer at the time, Kelvin Beach, presented us with a number of opportunities. And it was Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club, working as an internship. And straight away, as you can imagine, my eyes lit up. I think this is my opportunity. It's crying out for me. And that's where my door opens. And I think that was when, deep down, I felt that was my opportunity. That was my way of university giving me that opportunity. Giving me that opportunity to go and explore and experience a different side to what I've already learned. Because, you know, as I've highlighted a couple of times, you know, I've been going to different schools and that side of it. But I'm now going to potentially go and experience working in an elite environment. So this was something totally different. And that's where it opened up. And doing that alongside my my studies was really important. But just to stay on focus from the university side, because I'm sure we'll probably touch on it a little bit later, but that was my big moment for me personally, when my door opened. And what I'm trying to get out of it with this whole trying to sum it up is, yes, you may have a focus within physical education or being a PE teacher, but the big thing I had that same feeling, but one thing that I'll always go and say is there's many opportunities to go and venture. There's many opportunities to go and venture. And I think you've just got to be patient and be open-minded on what of these opportunities are going to be and what you're going to come along the way. They may not open straight away for you. Like I mentioned there, my door opened in my final year, but those processes came in time. So, you know, it's just being open-minded and really ensuring that you don't block yourself from any other opportunities, or more so take any knowledge, because it's very easy to just block it and just think, well, I'm not going to use that. I don't need to take any information. But actually, that information is really important. And it's sort of what's helped me to get that opportunity, but more so helped me to the position I am in today.
I think we can take quite a few messages from that. And the first one, in terms of when you're doing your first year and you're doing loads of different modules, and they're all very different from each other. And I think it's really important for our students that are thinking of taking GCSE PE, then A-level PE, knowing that you don't just have to be a PE teacher. And there will be things that you don't enjoy and don't understand, and some things that you enjoy more. At the moment, I'm teaching my year nine group planes and axes, and that's really hard stuff, and potentially stuff that they'll never touch on in the future. But being able to understand it may then help another area of sport, and another area of this and that and whatever. And one thing with myself, when I was at university, I did sports psychology, or applied sports psychology, as a module outside the main discipline. And although it's not a career that I've ended up going down, and I sometimes think maybe I should have, and this sort of thing, whatever, it's helped me understand colleagues. It's helped me understand other students in school, or some of our sort of elite athletes in school, and what potentially they're going through on a weekend. You know, some play academy football, some represent the district, and that Friday in school, if they are a little bit down or they are a little bit quiet, maybe it is because of that sort of thing. And it's helped me understand people, not just in terms of teaching, but just to understand people. And although I haven't taken it as a career, it's helped me in the career that I've chosen. And I think our students, especially those in A-level at the moment and in sixth form going into university, will understand that, you're right, at the moment you might think you're going to do, for myself, I thought I was going to be a PE teacher and went that way. But for yourself, you thought you were going to go into PE teaching and you've got into something completely different. But those skills from different modules, although you don't use them every day, maybe in 3 weeks' time on a Tuesday, you might use something you've taken from that delivering coaching lessons, and you might apply it in the future. And I think it's important to know that whatever they do in math, science, English, PE, BTEC PE, GCSE, A-level, whatever, they all apply to each other. The other thing that you mentioned was having that sort of taking experiences from different things and helping where you've got to. And one thing I always say to our students sort of in year 10 and 11, if they can do coaching session, if they can do a level one badge in a sport, go and do it. Even if it's myself, I always played football, but the thought of doing a rugby level one coach to me when I was in secondary school would have been really worrying. And I thought, I don't want to do that, but you can take so much from different sports and apply it to your own. You watch American football and the amount of, in terms of your career, in terms of analysis, when they set up their plays, it's a huge thing. It's like the most important thing in the sport. And potentially somebody who thought about going into your career may benefit from doing an NFL or American football level one coaching drill, or a basketball coaching drill, and learning these sorts of the way that you can teach positioning, you can teach sort of how to reflect on performance. I think it's really important. And touching on that, we spoke about the other day in terms of hard work. Yeah. And that message you want to pass on. And if I was in school and I was in year 10, I'd be thinking, going doing basketball level one and rugby level one, I won't bother. That's more hard work than it's worth. Yeah. But I think as you get older, you start to look back and you think, I really valued doing that. I really enjoyed doing this and that. So you spoke about hard work the other day. Do you want to go into some detail in terms of the hard work that you've had to put in? So obviously we all know the academic stress is school's hard work when you get towards exams, and so is college and so is university. But what is the hard work that you go through on a daily basis in terms of turning around deadlines and keeping that quality of work?
Yeah, so hard work, it's for me, and it's always been ingrained in me, it's the fundamental of what I do. So, you know, I always say, yes, you can have a quality output of work. You set high standards of quality work. But ultimately, if your hard work doesn't match that or isn't better, then ultimately your quality of work will decline because you're not putting the effort in, or you don't feel that you're spending a lot of time on the work that you create. So with me, with hard work, when I mentioned the term hard work, it's, you know, people will, you know, many will term hard work in different ways, which is perfectly fine because it suits the individual. For me, how hard work has always been is always putting in the time and effort and spending hours and hours to get better and to ensure that, you know, I'm constantly learning. Because if you put the hard work in, you also actually have an appreciation that you're learning at the same time. You're not just putting in the work and that's it, because ultimately the work you put in, you're actually learning it. So if you're putting if you're doing work, you're creating a meeting, you're learning because you're having to think about certain elements. So actually your quality of output starts to improve. And, you know, when I talk about, and you mentioned it with your students, it's one big thing that I always kept ringing in my head as you were speaking there was, it's about being at your comfort zone. And that's one big thing for me. It's being at your comfort zone. So, and that's what made me go and strive to keep working harder. Because, you know, one thing that I spoke about just before we come on was, you know what, I really don't like being comfortable. And that by being comfortable then essentially means you're not working hard. You're just going through the motions. And actually that can be a bad thing because that, you know, you're not really learning or developing as an individual. So it's really important that you're finding ways to develop, because that's the key message that I take away from everything that I do. And, you know, I've always had one big thing and I mention it now is academy manager who was with us at Birmingham, Christian Speakman. And I always remember this because it sits me well, and it's touching, because I was an intern at the time at Birmingham, and you know, that was it. I was an intern. So just to cut off the lines a little bit, you know, as an intern, you probably only work 2 or 3 days, but I was like, no, I'm going to come in 4 or 5 days. And that's a full-time role. Now, did someone tell me to do that? No, I pushed it myself. Pushed it myself, second to none. I was like to my line manager at the time, Simon Houston, who was at the time, and I was saying to him, can I come in? Can I come in? Can I come in? And he was like, yeah, of course you can. Come in and get involved. And straight away, it wasn't just to be there for the sake. I wanted to learn, first and foremost. I wanted to learn. And because I put those sort of hours in off my own back, look, I wasn't getting paid for it. The only thing I was getting is expenses. But I really wanted to put myself out there to say, look, I want to show my enthusiasm first and foremost, but I'm also showing that I can work hard and I'm willing to learn. And from there, when you've got an academy manager who's senior in his role, who no doubt will have so much more work going on, and he's taking an appreciation of you and asking, we've got to keep Mikesh. We've got to keep him next season. I like him. I like his work ethic. That was very touching, because it shows the hard work that you put in actually pays off. And all those hours and those days you've gone in off your own back has paid off. And it's shown that, you know, those extra mileages that you're putting in is will happen. It will work. And you've got to be patient, and you've got to be confident that you'll get it. And like I mentioned, when the hard work comes in, your layer of work will start to evolve with your quality output. So yes, it's the fundamentals of just hard work, have an appreciation of the work you're doing and just understanding it. But then the more knowledge that you gain, you're going to layer it up with a quality, because now, because you're so hands-on with that responsibility and you've got such an appreciation of it, you're now going to start finding ways to actually evolve it. You're going to find ways to be creative and just keep evolving that practice. So again, whether it's even if it's a practical session or it's something you're going to deliver, you're going to find ways to evolve it, because now you've got an appreciation of the fundamentals. And I think that's the thing that's really now, even for me now, is constantly evolving. So yes, the hard work's there, but you're now evolving your work. So for me, hard work is a big thing in everything you do, and especially in football. Because when you've got a game on a Saturday, so for example, if I've got a game on a Saturday, and I'm, after the game, I've got to review the reports, the game, and I've then got to be able to deliver a post-match within 24 hours. So when you've got a game on a Saturday midday, you've then got a post-match meeting with the players Sunday morning. So yes, it's working sociable hours for many, that would be, but it's the commitment and the drive, because one, I've got a passion for the game, but ultimately that's coming through hard work and you know, you wanting, for me, I always look at it, the hard work that I put in, it's for the players. So, you know, I want the players to have a very good career in the game as you know, in their own journey. So that's the reason why I put the effort in, because I want the best for them. That's what strives me to be better, and all the work that I put in is for them. And when you see that happen and you're seeing they're going on their successful journey, that makes you proud, because the efforts that you're going in, it's not just me individually, because there's other members of staff that will influence that, but it's always very appreciative, because you want the best for them as well. And I think that hard work that you put in is for them. And I think when you see the rewards, I think that's the biggest thing that you take real good praise of.
That's really interesting in terms of what I've sort of taken from that is one phrase that gets on my nerves is that phrase of practice makes perfect, when ultimately it doesn't. It's perfect practice that makes perfect. So unless you're actually really sort of committing to it and understanding what you're doing and why you're doing it, you're going to get nowhere. You could stand out on a football pitch and you could do defensive drills all day, but if unless somebody buys into it and they all buy into it and they all help carry each other through it, it's going to be pointless. You're going to waste 3 hours of shape or whatever, whereas compare 3 hours of half-hearted, let's put it back into a school context, 3 hours of half-hearted revision, you're better off doing half an hour of sitting down, giving examples, applying it to different things, and then moving on with something else. And it's that other sort of cliche of quality over quantity. And in terms of, if you're going to work hard, it's fine to work hard for 6 hours of an evening of revising, but unless you're going to put the effort into it, it's going to be a complete waste of time. And you say how much you enjoy seeing people develop, because you know that you've put the things in place to help get them there. And that potentially without something you've done 2 months before or a month before, they wouldn't have achieved anything. And I think in a similar respect, we kind of get that as teachers. And hopefully the students see that as well, because I think at the moment, especially working from home, they do get frustrated in the fact that it is hard to work from home. And I understand where they're coming from. And I hate doing this remote learning thing, but I think they get a little bit frustrated that we're saying, like, you're behind on work, you're behind with this, that, and the other. And we're not saying it because we get paid to say it. We're saying it because we genuinely care and we want them to do well. And we know that when they return to school, having all that work ready, we can move on with something else. But when they return to school and they have to do a half an hour catch up after school on a Tuesday or a Thursday, it's just as frustrating for them as it is for us, because we don't want them to be there. We want them to keep up with their work. And obviously we give up our time to help them do that. But potentially changing their mindset for that hard work and during that 1 hour lesson, making that 1 hour count rather than just sitting there and listening to it and just sort of putting a few notes down here and there, they get to the end. And if they compare themselves to somebody else in their group who's taking a full page worth of notes and this and that, when they return to school, it's going to be really obvious. And then they won't be thinking this at the moment, but 6-7 years down the line, unless you're working as hard as somebody else, when you get into that job interview with them and all of a sudden so-and-so who's done loads of work during school and they've got that mindset that you have, in terms of that working hard and asking to come in, even though it's unpaid, you're obviously going to get the job because your work rate and your hard work and your dedication to do better and be better is going to show through far more. And I think that's an important message for those sort of in year 11 going to college and college to university. And even if this does reach students that are in university, however it could reach them, hopefully they would take that message from that, that they have to work harder than the people around them because it's obvious. You'd see it with potentially with the footballers that you work with, who's going that extra mile to do whatever task that you may set or the coaches set. It's really obvious, and potentially they don't see it from within, but everybody looking in from the outside notices it straight away. Another thing I want to move on to, what do you see then in athletes or footballers that move from sort of the underage levels of 15, 16, 17s into 18s and 23s and first team? What do you see in them that separates them apart from everybody else? And I'm not talking ability, I'm talking things that go deeper than just football, in a, just talent, things that go deeper than natural talent. What do you see in them that takes them to the next level?
The one thing I do see is a really good question. I see maturity. And by that, I mean, you know, he's talking about there in terms of elements of who's going to go above and beyond in terms of doing extra gym, say, or do an extra half an hour to work on their technique. But actually maturity, because we can, I can see it, because young players or young children or young students, there is that little bit of, what's the word I can use? It can be a little bit naivety or just unaware or just unaware of actually the benefits that you can get from it. And being a young athlete or a young student, I think it's fine. I'm doing everything well. But actually maturity, because when you're in a full-time program and you're doing these extras, you're really seeing it, because you're seeing a transformation in your body. You know, you're growing, you're building. But also, when you're coming to the higher end of the level of the game, it's demanding more from you. And, you know, it's the maturity from, you're actually encouraging your teammates. You're wanting the best for them as well. And you wanted to, you know, really go and push them and drive them. Maturity in terms of, you know, you're going to take every ounce that's offered to you to be the best that you can be. And it's a whole cliche, the best that you can be, but you know, it's that side of it. But as one thing I've really seen, it's the maturity side and people not taking it for granted and actually making the most of their time while they're in the program. We appreciate at 15, 16, it's difficult because they're not in the program full-time because of obviously studies in terms of school. But actually when they come into the sort of scholarship age and they are working full-time, okay, they're still doing education, but actually being in the program more, they're seeing that side of it. I feel like, wow, now it's an eye opener. Now I'm really know what it's about and what's demanded of me. So one big thing that I've seen is maturity, and that's come within age and people having a really good appreciation of what it takes to get to that level. And if you don't, then it's difficult. But ultimately, that's one big thing that I've really seen is maturity. Within players, which is very encouraging and very pleasing, because they recognise that they are going to make the most of their efforts while they're there in the training ground and even away from the training ground as well, in terms of how they rest and how their diet is and so forth. So one big thing I take away from that is maturity.
That's really interesting, and I'm not going to put you in an awkward position, but I know probably 3-4 years ago there was a footballer at Blues, and I used to watch him play, and I thought, he's so unbelievably talented on the ball.
Yeah,
he's when he sort of comes off the bench, you think you get on the edge of your seat and thinking, oh my god, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. And I'm not sure where he's playing now, but then when you compare it to someone who's come through recently, and a lot of our students will sort of admire, someone like Jude Bellingham, he came through, and it wasn't just his footballing ability, which shone through, it was his maturity. It was his ability on the pitch to take control and talk to others. And it was almost like watching an adult play football. And you had to sort of pinch yourself sometimes and think, he's in year 11. He would be a year 11 sort of going into A-level student. And he's on a pitch here and he looks He looks like a model pro. He's obviously a very fit athlete, but he's very good at communicating, and he's got that maturity to come into a profession as a professional footballer, which is, you hear it from podcasts such as the Peter Crouch one, it's almost you're going into a changing room, which is daunting. Yeah. And it's that really sort of, I know Peter Crouch, it's obviously much different sort of 20 years ago, but he said it was like taking all the bullies off a playground and putting them in one dressing room. I mean, you walk in for the first time and everyone's looking at you. What's he going to bring? What can you do? And he obviously adapted to that really well at 16. And that's, we talk about elite mindset. That's that sort of mindset that you've got to have. And I listened to Peter Crouch again, talking about Steven Gerrard when in Carragher, when a new player joined their team, they would test them in those first three, 4 days. It smashed the ball into feet. And if the touch was bad, that was it. First chance has gone. Obviously, with Jude going into the first team, he obviously adapted to it really quickly. And that's not just in sport. That can be in whatever field. And we have sort of work experience students coming in and working within our department. And we have trainee teachers. And I was in that position 2 years ago. But unless you go into a department and take that maturity and realize, right, I need to work hard now. I'm here for this. I'm here for that. And not coast through it. We've had trainees in the past who have coasted through it and not made the most of their opportunity. I really like your message there. Hopefully that can strike a chord with a few of our students going forward. One last thing I want to touch on, and you mentioned this yesterday, was that ability to connect with people. So you have an idea of what you want to do in the future. It's important to talk to people. Could you give our sort of students some advice on that in terms of maybe talking to people who have potentially done a uni course that they want to go on to, or work in a profession like yourself? They might go and have a look on LinkedIn and find an academy internship and then go and talk to people who have taken that role. Could you go into a bit of detail about that?
Yeah, so in terms of being able to connect with others, it's in a way of, you know, like you talked about LinkedIn, that could be a very useful tool, or Twitter, and finding contacts and finding people that are going to be really relevant to you as an individual in terms of your area of work you wish to go to. Now, but also on top of that, like even with myself, now it's networking in terms of CPD. So it's going to venture in different sports. So how, even if you are already in that field, go to see, you know, one thing that I've done in my own experience is go to Warwickshire Cricket Club and speak to analysts over there in terms of how they deliver analysis with their players. And so how can that then help me in terms of what I do in my own discipline, in my own role? And I think the big one for me in connecting, it's going, put your name out there and sort of show and deliver what you currently do to help them. But also it's about the opportunity to grow as an individual, I think. And that's what I mean by connecting with others. So the big one for me is create relationships with other members of staff within, again, relevant clubs, relevant sports, and how that's going to have a positive effect on you. So connecting, in terms of keep talking about connecting, it's just putting yourself out there and really make yourself an individual. So for example, myself, my name's Mikesh. Look, this is what I currently do. I'm an academy performance analyst. You know, I want to have a little bit more of an understanding around this certain topic. Is there any way that you can inform me with any sort of information, or is it possible that I can get on a 10-minute Zoom or a phone call or over a coffee that we can have a little discussion that was something that will help me? Or can I come in and see what you do? And no doubt about it, there'd be certain area, departments or clubs that will be willing to be open for that opportunity. You know, I even to this point now, even on LinkedIn, I get, you know, people that message myself around potential opportunities. Or, you know, one example I'm more happy to say is, you know, I'm looking to do a master's. And I see that you've done it. And how has that helped you within your area of work? And it's not a problem because you're willing to give them that time and effort to help them. And it's literally just a message like that. And it can help. It will help. Just put yourself out there and ask the questions. The main one is don't feel shy. Don't feel afraid to pick up the phone or be able to type away. Because ultimately, there will be people out there, individuals out there, that will give you their time to help you. And as long as you want that and you want to know the answers, go and put yourself in that position. So my big one would be do as much as you can to put yourself out there to connect with others. That'd be the key message.
That's really interesting in terms of that CPD and connecting people in that way. I remember when I was at secondary school, and I'm applying this to myself now, but I was really good friends with the PE department and I got on well with all the PE teachers. And then when I left and went to college, I went back and did work experience. And then when I went to university, I went back again and did some more experience there. And I built up that relationship with them. And then when I ended up getting a job at Alderbrook, I was doing my training at St. Peter's just around the corner. Mm-hmm. And their department is very close with the Alderbrook department. They know there's members of staff who know each other. And having that bond with the St. Peter's members of staff ultimately led to me getting the job here because they passed on that good message and word spreads really, really quickly. Yeah. And in terms of that CPD, in terms of learning off other people, I think our students don't realize this, but myself, I'll go into a maths lesson potentially and sit at the back of a maths lesson and watch somebody teach a maths lesson and think, wow, I don't do this. I don't do that. Yeah. This looks incredible. And it's really engaging and potentially choosing a specific group that you know that you have individuals in that you teach and thinking, well, they get more out of that individual than I do. Why is that? And I think it's always important to take those steps to better yourself almost. But then by doing that, you can have that conversation with that member of staff. And then 3 weeks down the line, they'll come back to you and go, how did you get on with this? And then you've got that connection then. And then potentially they'll pass the message on to somebody else and go, oh, I think you could help Mr. Edwards with this. And I'll go and talk to them. And it just spreads out like a tree almost. And I think that's really important. I think that's a really good message. And I'll try and get this passed on to those in sixth form. Those are sort of closer to starting their careers. Mm. That's a really important step to take. Before we finish, do you have any message that you'd want to pass on to anyone looking to work in elite sport and working in that field?
No, my message would be to always, you know, to keep working hard, obviously fundamentally, but most importantly, just to really put yourself out there and really give a good account of yourself and always keep learning. You know, life is a journey. You're going to go through many obstacles, but always make sure and maintain that level head and patience that where you'll get to is going to come through patience and hard work. And that will be the key to your own success. So for me, it's just about keep pushing, keep driving yourself to keep developing. But more so, as anything, of course, if anyone's listening or wants to take this information, they'd be more than happy to contact myself in anything they wish to know more information about. But for me, it's just to keep pushing yourself and really go and show your qualities, because we all have a strength, we all have that quality. It's just about you going to find it, and what as you go on through your journey, you'll see that quality shine more and more. And when you recognize it, go and make the most of that quality, because ultimately that is going to get you to where you wish to be.
That's a really nice message. And I just want to say thank you for giving up your time for on behalf of myself and the school, and more specifically, potentially the PE department, because that's obviously something we're really trying to push, that all these careers in sport are available. But you've just got to try and find the right door. And those doors, as we spoke about before, don't always show themselves. Yeah. And those experiences in school, college and university, those doors eventually begin to open. Yeah.